This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is the third section of the surah. You notice the first one was judgment day, exhaustion and punishment. The second was the exception. By the way, some faces are going to be all right. They're going to do pretty good. And now we come back to the what I was telling you, the only criticism, the only call to action made for these people that are refusing to listen to this warning, or this visualization isn't realistic enough to them. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ Haven't they taken a good staring look at the camel? How it was created? How was the camel created? Now this, of course, is capturing the imagination of the Arab traveler. When do they have a time to stare at a camel for a long time? When they're traveling. Like they're not just when they're doing their other business, they don't stand there and stare at a camel for a long time. But when they're traveling, their hours, days, weeks, months go by and all they look at is what? The camel in front of them. The one that they're riding. يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ And then they notice different things about the camel that otherwise you wouldn't notice. So for example, how gentle the camel is, how high its ride is, how it can survive basically on nothing. How it gives you milk, it gives you skin, it gives you meat. In other words, this ship that Allah created, perfectly designed for you to be able to navigate the journey of the desert. A horse wouldn't have survived. Any other creature wouldn't have survived. And this creature survives. And then the things that Allah created inside of a camel, how rough its skin is. And even if the camel dies, its skin can be used to turn it into a tent. Like they can survive a sandstorm just from the skin of the camel. Its meat can help them survive for weeks on end. Then on top of all of that, its eyes, its eyelids. It's crazy. When sandstorms come, the Arabs have to cover their eyes. But the camel can't cover its eyes. It's going to keep moving, right? Allah literally created like a car wiper system. It actually blocks the sand from the eyelid of the camel. It doesn't have to blink in the middle of a sandstorm. Have you noticed this incredible mechanical design of this creature that is for your purpose? It's this, it is the accumulation of his ability to know. Like Allah knows exactly what this creature needs to survive in this world. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows what it requires to survive this journey. Allah is by telling you to reflect on the camel, by telling me to reflect, especially the Arab traveler to reflect on the camel, is actually teaching him humility. Look at this marvelous creature that Allah put to your service. And you refuse to put yourself in my service. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ Look at what Allah has made for you. And by the way, the theme of journey, don't forget that. It is actually in the course of journey that you would stare at a camel for so long. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ And haven't they looked at the sky, how high it's been elevated? Again, when are they going to have time to stare at the sky? When they're traveling. So you've got this image of somebody riding on their camel, appreciating the things about their camel, and then they look up at this remarkable skyscape, this endless skyscape. Who put this beautiful roof over you? وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ And then as your eye comes down from the sky and the camel, you look far ahead and you see a range of mountains. And so Allah says, and didn't they look at the mountains? How they've been pegged in, they've been grounded to the ground. By the way, nasibah and nusibat, it's a repeat of the same word. Faces are going to be exhausted on that day. The arrogant one thinks that they're never going to experience that kind of exhaustion. And Allah by implication is teaching him, I can even exhaust the mountains. What are you? I have put the mountains down. I can't put you down. So, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ And how he's put them down, and by the way, it's lughatul adad, something put down and made prominent. That's why nasaba aynahu is to raise your eyes also from below. So anyway, now وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ And didn't they look to the earth and how flat it's been laid out? Of course, nobody appreciates flat land more than the desert traveler among the Arabs. Right? So this is actually the reality all around them captured, isn't it? They're traveling, they've got their camel, they've got the sky, they've got the mountains in the distance, and they've got the flat land that Allah has made, made normal, now made level for them. I'm reminded actually in this ayah, in these ayat, about what Allah says in Surah At-Takwir. He there also talked about the sky being torn open. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ He also talked about the mountain sailing away. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ He also talked about the she-camel walking off. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ It's the same items that are now repeating themselves here. As if judgment day will come and all these things will not be as they are now. But for now they are the way they are. For now things are normal. In other words, you still have time. You're still on a journey where you can fix things. Because a time will come where the earth will not be the way it is. It's not going to be smooth like it is now. It's not going to be calm like it is now. The sky won't be what it is right now. It's not going to be rufi'at like this. The mountains are not going to be staying in place like they are. The camel is not going to be where, you know, humble to you on that day. It's going to be left alone. All of it's going to change. And so it's almost by implication they're being told, you're on this journey, but you don't have a lot of time. Haven't you thought about the fact that just like you go on a journey from point A to point B, your entire life is actually a journey. Think about that. You contemplate that. So they're made to contemplate on that. Now, the address comes back to the Prophet ﷺ, and here's where the surah concludes. فَذَكِّرْ. Then if they're not going to think about it, and they're not going to contemplate, I have given them enough reasons to really be lost in thought. By the way, those of you that have traveled know, when you're traveling especially by yourself, it gives you a lot of time to think. Also sleep and play video games. But other than that, if you're not wasting your time frying your brain cells, it gives you time to think and contemplate. Right? Allah says, when I've given you that opportunity to think, you should be arriving at some conclusions yourself. Now, every human being is therefore responsible to arrive at the truth on their own. The ability to think for themselves and find direction in life is something Allah made us capable of. He made us capable of nazar. But above and beyond that is the Prophet ﷺ giving them reminder. So now the Prophet is told, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Just remind. Your only responsibility, what are you if not a reminder? Meaning a person to give reminder. That's all you are. And that's all you need to do. You don't need to change anybody. If they're not going to think for themselves, if they're not going to look at reality around them for themselves, then your reminder will have no benefit, and that's okay. But that doesn't change what you're supposed to do. You just keep on giving a reminder. You notice in the previous surah also we saw فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. And now you have فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. It's highlighting two different realities. There it was, it doesn't matter who listens, it doesn't listen. You just remind. If the reminder itself is beneficial, you just remind. Here again, the recipient isn't specified. And Allah is saying, look, whether they benefit or not, whether they, it's on them. If they are become people of thought, your reminder will actually become of benefit to them. So now, and here by the way, the subject isn't specified. What should you remind them of? Should you remind them of the Akhirah? Should you remind them of Allah? Should you remind them of how they were created? Should you remind them of the history of previous nations? It's all of it's open-ended. Whatever reminder you give them, if they are actually people of thought, all of it will converge and it will make sense to them. Otherwise, you can't control them. And so clearly Allah says, لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرِ. You are not in charge, especially over them. You have no control over them. سَيْطَرَ is actually to safeguard someone, to control someone, to have complete say over somebody. The Prophet's being told, you are not in charge. You can't tell them what to do. All you can do is give a reminder. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرِ. This is the attitude of a da'i. We don't control people. We don't get frustrated that they don't listen. Our job is just to give a reminder as a da'i. That's it. Whether people change or not, that's between them and Allah. That's between them and Allah. You know, sometimes you give a reminder to your family member, you tell them a hadith or something and they don't listen to you. Like, I even gave them proper dalil and they didn't listen. They didn't. Get over it. Prophets gave a lot better than you and people didn't listen to them. So chill out. You know, it becomes about our own pride more than it does about the reminder itself. Changing people is up to Allah. And actually, Allah won't change them until حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, until they change what's inside of themselves. That's the message of the surah. If their view hasn't changed, if the way they look at reality hasn't changed, then none of these reminders will change anything inside of them. So, the Prophet is relieved of this responsibility and finally told, إِلَّا مَن تَوَلَّى وَكَفَرَ, with the exception of the one who turned away and the one who disbelieved, فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرَ, then Allah will Himself punish him the greatest punishment. Two questions arise here. What is this exception to? One way of interpreting this is, you have no authority over them, meaning the Quraysh who don't listen to you right now. But the ones who turn away and disbelieve, you will eventually, in fact, will have authority over them. Makkah will be conquered. The time is coming. Just not right now. Just it's okay. Right now, no. But not only will you have authority over them, and if they still don't believe, then Allah will punish them, the ultimate punishment on top of that too. That's the first thing about the exception. The other interesting point about the exception, others say no, this is only saying that Allah will deal with them exceptionally in the Akhirah, you will have no control over them. I actually prefer to think this is alluding to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ is being kind of in between the lines told, you will eventually have authority over them. You know, it is coming. That Saitara is coming. But still, it doesn't answer the question, why are they being given the greatest of all punishment? فَيُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ الْعَذَابَ الْأَكْبَرُ. Why not just punishment? Why the greatest punishment? This is, to me, a very important consideration. The Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the ultimate gift of Allah to humanity. And the people that rejected him after meeting with him, after living with him, after hearing him, after spending a life with him, they have committed a greater crime than anybody else that will ever commit a crime. People that come 300 years after that and don't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, still criminal, but nowhere near the people who lived with him, were family with him, knew him, and still rejected him. The ones who turned their back on him and disbelieved in him, despite there are two things that happened. The greatest word of Allah was given, and it was given to the greatest example ever given to humanity. The greatest opportunity to accept the truth was presented to them, not just in theory, but in practice, in front of their eyes. When they rejected that and became enemies against the Prophet ﷺ, there is no greater crime than that. So you have to understand, when Allah says the greatest punishment, I'm convinced here that Allah is not describing everybody in humanity who ever turns away. They may have punishment, but al-'adhab al-akbar is actually a reference to, you are giving a reminder, Rasulullah, you're not in charge over them, but the ones who still turn away even after you become, and remain your enemies, those are the people that deserve the greatest punishment. This makes you sensitive to how Allah talks about punishment in the Quran. Every time Allah is talking about punishment, He's not talking about your non-Muslim neighbor or just anybody. It's specific to a specific case. You have to be careful how you pass verdict on what is it that Allah is referring to, subhanahu wa ta'ala.